This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. Joining us today is Maui County Mayor Mike Victorino. The former county council member is no stranger to politics and the issues important to residents there on the Valley Isle. Welcome, Mayor.
Good morning. Well, thank you for having me.
You know, I've just realized this is the first opportunity that I've had to congratulate you on your win during the election.
Thank you very much.
You've had a very busy time.
Absolutely. It's been an exciting first 3 months, if I want to put it in that respect.
Exciting, yes.
Yes.
So walk us through. I mean, you had those wildfires. I mean, gosh.
Yes. We started the first week in office with a major brush fire in Olawalo on the west side of the island, which didn't impair or endanger any homes or property. And then the very next day, as I'm having dinner for my anniversary with my lovely wife in Pili, I'm informed that there's a small fire in Wailea. So I said, okay, fine. We finish our dinner and we head back. And as I got to Olawalo and made the turn there, I saw what I was thinking was a very small brush fire, a major glow coming from Wailea. And I was then informed that the fire had grown quite drastically, and they were evacuating the Hotel Wailea, a number of residents, as well as condos along the upper side of the Wailea, Iloa area.
You know, and I recall with all the natural disasters we've had, there was a big concern that, do we have enough shelters, not just for our residents, but for our visitors?
Well, we are very fortunate. We do have facilities. I immediately asked to open up our Kihei Community Center for both visitors and residents alike. The hotels and the hotel association was very generous in accommodating visitors from the Hotel Wailea. They were able to find accommodations in some of the other hotels that were adjoining this in the Wailea area. So we were very fortunate. No one was really put out. There were some tense moments in the beginning, especially when the fire neared the Hotel Wailea and some of the other structures. But our fire department, along with other contractors like Goodfellows and others, and our public works department, not only took D9 dozers and built fire breaks, but also had their tanker trucks in place to wet down areas to prevent the fire from crossing over from the dry land into the actual facilities themselves, into the actual properties themselves.
Right, and that was just January, right?
This was January, and I mean, you know, and luckily no one was hurt, no damage to any property. And then we immediately, shortly thereafter, a couple of weeks later, we had these severe storms that passed through the islands. I mean, we had snow down to the 6,500-foot elevation called Polipoli. We've had never, I repeat, never in recorded history ever had snow at that altitude on Haleakala. And that caused not only power outages, trees went down all over the island. So we had, you know, luckily no major. I think one tree did fall on the house, so I don't want to say there was no damage, but the damage could have been much more severe. And one thing I'm very thankful, and along with all the other high surf warnings that we've had recently, people have basically yielded and listened to our warnings and have stayed out of harm's way. And I'm so thankful both our visitors and our residents have used common sense and stayed out of harm's way. And so our emergency services are not forced to go out and rescue people or try to save people from their own foolish endeavors.
You also had some landslides as well as a result of the heavy rains.
Yes, we closed out the backside of Kaakaloa along the Honopilani Highway just beyond Honokahau. We also had out in East Maui, the Hana Highway, there are a number of landslides there, which is very commonplace, actually. It's not unusual. But the backside of West Maui, that area behind Honokahau Valley, was surprising. And it took us a few days to clean that up and make that accessible for our local residents again.
Well, I just realized that it's almost April, and that would mark a year since we had those very heavy rains that impacted Kauai and, you know, actually all around the state pretty much. But just amazing what we've been dealt with Mother Nature.
There is a fact that climate change is upon us. We see sea level rising. We see other incidents. We have, you know, Maui, we had in 2016 that tremendous rainfall, which the Wailuku River took a whole new diversion system and cleared up and knocked down sides of our parks and areas that had been there for 30, 40, 50 years. So, yes, the severe weather we all have been experiencing throughout the state, throughout the world, for that matter, is indicating that climate change is upon us, and we now must start planning for climate change, make what I call the infrastructure retreat along our coastline, our roadways, our sewer. Oahu is dealing, all the islands, we're all dealing with that now. We know that we don't have any time to wait. We've got to start being proactive instead of being reactive.
Well, I hope you're eating your Wheaties, because the first 3 months have just been kind of crazy.
Well, you can tell I still have a cold. And I'm not blaming all these incidents, but, you know, it's somewhat stressful to all of us, you know, especially our citizenry. I mean, we're constantly putting up warnings and asking them to be aware of what's going on around them. And again, your everyday life is stressful enough, so all of this is just added more. And whether it's Oahu, Maui, Hawaii, or Kauai, all of our counties have been facing some real challenges when it comes to weather. And I thank everyone and again, anyone listening throughout the state, just always heed emergency services warnings and make sure whatever the officials say you need to do, try to do it, because you want to keep out of harm's way.
Good point. I must say your first responders had another challenge last week over at the Maui Community Correctional Center. We talked to Public Safety Director Nolan Espinda this morning about that riot at the facility and what led up to that disturbance there. Again, your county fire and police helped to respond to. We asked him what he wanted to say to the Maui community.
Extreme overcrowded conditions and the situations that occur relative to that. We had 96 people and 95 people in areas designed to house 48 people. So where there's supposed to be two in a cell, there were four in a cell. And these types of difficult conditions, exacerbate every little problem. Every time a toilet is down, every time a telephone is down, it's multiplied by four. What I would want to say to the Maori community there is that, these difficult conditions have persisted for years. We are working towards, establishing additional housing for the people there. We would eventually like to be a participant in the expansion that will happen out there for a new correctional facility itself. I guess in closing, I'd say that, the public servants that work at the institution, the first responders that came out, the people who showed up in support of the staff there during the course of this incident, truly a credit to the Maui community.
And Mayor, I know Nolan Espinda was just there on Maui, and he did mention that he stopped in to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And let me start and go back to the incident itself. I would like to say that, yes, the overcrowdedness in these facilities really did bring it to the forefront. And I think we've been dealing with that for years. But it got to a boiling point, and there were some that went over the edge and created an unsafe condition, not only for themselves, but also for those who did not participate. And from my understanding, from both people in and outside of that system, many were not active participants, but they were trapped within the whole issue itself. And so I want to first of all recognize our police negotiators. I think I want to give credit to them for their defusing of the situation, getting those who were the instigators calmed down, to be able to set things up so that people and the inmates, as well as the ACOs and our police department, were able to handle the situation in a very orderly, calm, and non-violent manner. So I want to give them a lot of credit and thank them so very much for what they did. So as you can see, the result was not one that you've seen in other places where injuries ran rampant and also fatalities may have occurred. So first, let's recognize that. Secondly, the damage that was done by some of these instigators was quite extensive, and you've seen the pictures, right?
Yes.
And so with that being said, repairs and necessary changes have to be made. Now, we go to the real crux of the problem is the fact that we are overcrowded. we have for years discussed about moving the facility from where it's landlocked now, surrounded by a cemetery on one side, a reservoir in the back, Kahalia Keola, which is a transitional home based program for people in need to transition back out into the working workforce, and across the street, which is all residential housing. There's no place else to move. There's no place else to grow. There's no place else to develop within this area. So we had looked at Punane. The Punane complex was well on its way, but for a number of reasons, I'm not blaming anyone. I never like to point fingers because, you know, it's easy to point. It's harder to find solutions. But we know we now have to do something and have to do something quite expediently. I mean, we need to move on it, and there's not enough time to talk about it. So I have been in conversation with the governor. We will look at seeing what we can do right now to rectify as best as possible what we have here, and to really look for a new facility that is probably 15, 20 years overdue. And so you have my assurances from the county. I stand ready to help the state and whomever else is a part of this to put not only effort but to expedite any permitting processes. Anything we can do from our side, I would like to be a part of and be a part of the discussion. And really, I'd like to say quit talking. Let's get walking. Let's get this journey started to building and or improving this system. If we have to go vertical, we have to go vertical to build more units and more cubicles, and where prisoners are not four to a cell, there should be only two to a cell. And then all these other issues about whether they're talking toilets, whether they're talking about washrooms, whatever, will be taken care of, and these prisoners or these inmates or these detainees, there's a number, it falls into different categories, are properly taken cared in a humanistic way.
Yes, Nolan did talk about his hopes for bail reform because really you're in a situation there where you can't really turn anybody away because of our current system. So lots of things to be concerned about. I did talk to a resident shortly after that incident who happened to be here in Honolulu, and she was distressed and really scared that something like this could happen. I mean, really, we had a situation where the inmates said, you know, we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore, I guess.
Well, they can rest assured our police department and the adult officer, correctional officers were out there. The ACOs were out there. And we had the situation well in hand. Yes, it was for a while faultable. Yes, you know, we were concerned. But we made sure we had everybody in place, including our fire department, to help fight those fires in place so that it did not spill over to any residential or any other area except the facility itself. So I can tell the public, you can rest assured we were on it and we were ready to prevent anything from further moving in any other direction but in the facility itself.
Switching gears, we do have a call on the line. Amy from Kahului, what do you have on your mind? You have a question for the mayor?
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor.
In
good morning. Light of last month's Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation lawsuit filed on behalf of a recognized cultural descendant, how do you respond to community concerns about the ongoing imperilment and desecration to the iwi kupuna, the ancestral skeletal remains, in the pu'one, the sand dunes situated inside the Maui Lani Project District, as well as throughout Maui County? There are currently no archaeologists at the Maui State Historic Preservation Division, so there's no oversight of the developers' mass excavation activity in these highly sensitive cultural areas. Mahalo.
Well, that's a broad question, and we are working on that at this time. We're looking for the state to help us with the cultural experts and the people that are needed to be on these job sites and making sure that contractors fulfill their obligation or any development. we have asked them to cease at this point to make sure that these areas are looked upon, and we are looking into as far as the sensitivity and the cultural aspect, and no one in this community more than myself would like to make sure that no EV is moved from any ethnicity, whether it's just the host culture or any other EV that is out there. So I'm very sensitive to this, and I've been working on it, and I will say that we will soon have some ideas and some changes in legislation that we'll be bringing forward in a not-too-distant future.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, Mayor, but didn't Maui deal with a mass unearthing of burials there some years ago at a resort? I'm trying to recall now, but that was, I think, one of those cases where it really just brought this issue home among the Native Hawaiian community about respect for the iwi.
That's correct. And we have laws in place and we have policies in place, but they seem sometimes not to be followed, and that's when fines or anyhow revocable permits are the other possibilities. And so I have asked that our Public Works and other groups that are involved in it, our cultural commission, be more mindful of it and to keep us informed, and also SHPTA to help us in this area.
You know, switching gears again,
sure.
I know this problem that we've got with our housing situation, mm-hmm. our housing crisis, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's tied to homelessness and illegal vacation rentals. What's your take on where we're at?
Well, right now it's a multi-pronged approach. You know, let's start with the illegal short-term vacation rentals. We have policies and ordinances in place, and we're now enacting them and going after these illegal short-term rentals. If you saw the Ninth Circuit Court recently ruled for California that municipalities had the right to go in and tax and change taxes or tax bases on these illegal short-term rentals, and that we had enforceability in this area. So I don't know all the particulars on this ruling. I have my attorneys looking into it now, our corporation counsel, because I think this is a ruling that has a tremendous impact to all of us here in the state of Hawaii. And short-term illegal vacation rentals is not only a problem in Maui. It is a problem throughout the state. Kailua and Lanikai and Oahu is having those same. I mean, you go all around this state, we have areas that have been inundated by short-term rentals, people buying housing and putting it into the short-term rental pool versus where it should be in long-term residential rentals, I should say. So we are moving in many areas, and I assure you that is a major problem. The other problem is lack of inventory. We haven't built more than 300 or 400 units a year over the last 10 years. Our study shows over 14,000 to 15,000 units short for the people living here. I'm not even talking anybody new, just the people. We have a huge number of what we call homeless, hidden homeless. These are families that live with their families. In other words, you have sons living with their parents. You have families living with their grandparents. You know, you're crowding homes and making some of these build and extend and put and go up and, you know, take the whole lot is a home to take care of their families, you know. Some of it is customary, some of it is cultural, but a lot of it is being forced into because they can't afford rents and to purchase out there. So right now, Catholic Charities is building 165 units for our kupuna so that they can move into a comfortable living facility and maybe then transfer their homes to their children or grandchildren for them to live in, you know. There's a bunch of programs that we're working on right now. And so I'm very confident over the next 6 months we'll be able to bring forward some ideas and have what I call livable approaches, attainable homes here in Maui County, attainable units. Our millennials live differently today. Millennials want to more have convenience. They want multi-modem transportation nearby. They want to be able to walk a bike to their events or go shopping, and they want to live near. And they don't want a yard. They don't want a two-car garage. They prefer more mobility. And so there's so many dynamics out there that I am moving on each one accordingly and doing the best I can, along with our county council, along with our agencies here, both federal and state, and seeing what ways we can put solutions on the table and move on them right now.
You know, if you're just joining the conversation, we're talking about Maui County, and we'd like to know what your concerns are for the island. You can join the discussion with the mayor by calling us at 941-3689 or 1-877-941-3689 from the neighbor islands.
Well, Catherine, let me remind you of one thing. We are the only county that actually has four islands under our control that are under our county. We have Maui, Molokai, Lanai. Of course, Kahoʻolawe is not inhabited, but the other two islands are. So if any of those people want to call in, I'd like to welcome them also, if you don't mind, please.
That's true. You're absolutely right. The Friendly Isle. And that reminds me, I was having a conversation with somebody, and they had mentioned that they had heard there was some talk that Molokai might want to be its own county. I don't know what you've heard about that.
I've heard that, and I think there was a legislator that might have introduced something at the legislature. But at this point, I will let them to determine that. I will not say anything either way. They're the Friendly Isle, and I've always had a lot of aloha. I have family and friends that live there, and I have no problem one way or the other. But personally, it's really up to the people to decide that. You know, I think they're the ones that have to look at the demographics and the financial and economic base that they have to work with. So, you know, at this point, I really don't have a real comment other than I'll let the people decide.
And what are the issues that you feel are paramount on those other islands?
Well, okay, let's start with Molokai. Molokai has a large unemployment base, so economic opportunities, whether it's farming and other areas, really are areas that I think we need to continue to explore, whether it's farming for edible crops and or areas like hemp and other viable crops throughout this state. Maui, you know, we have Maui Mahipono that's really bought up the vast majority of agricultural land from Alexander and Baldwin. And their hope is to not only plant, grow, harvest, but process edible foods right here in Maui County. And they want to create 1,200 jobs, for which I have asked them to at least make sure that 80 to 90% of those jobs have opportunities for those who are living here right now. We don't need a lot of people coming in to help us if we have the expertise here. And we have a lot of farmers that work for HCNS. We had 675 that were let go over the last 3 years before they shut down. So obviously we have some people here that brought a lot of agricultural knowledge along with our farmers union, our organic farm group, our farmers exchange. We have a lot of farmers here, so we need to mentor, to work with them to make sure the small farmers can share with a large conglomerate like Mahipono, and how we can work together not only in growing crops, but also how we can bring in supplies together. Because one of the things that's hurt many of our small farmers is when HCNS went out of business, we no longer bring in big containers that they used to bring in for their big crops or their big ag business. So now they're all down into individuality, and that gets very expensive, especially when you're talking shipping, yeah?
You know, we do have a situation also on Lanai, right? There was a lot of great hopes for green energy. You know, we've got the hotels over there. What's your take on Lanai?
Mr. Ellison from Oracle has some great ideas. He's brought them forward. Some of them are slowly moving and becoming a reality. He has his farming system that he wants to put, which is all organic. He's looking for ways of creating energy and not using fossil fuel, whether it's hydro, whether it's solar, whether it's wind. There's a number of options that he's brought to the forefront that he's wanting to put together so that the people of Lanai do not have to depend on fossil fuel. He's built his hotels, or he's changed a lot of the hotels' approach to be more of a wellness type of facility, not just a resort. And so there's a lot of promise for Lanai. The challenge I face there is sometimes the communication between what he and the company wants and what is relayed to the people is not always cohesive. And so my hope is to bridge that gap and to make everyone understand what is important. He needs to hear from the people, and the people have to hear from him. It's a two-way street. It's not just about what he wants. He should be, and I have always encouraged any landowner or any land developer, you've got to listen to the public. You've got to listen to the people that are impacted from whatever you plan to do. Because if you don't listen to them and you don't work with them, you set yourself up for a lot of controversy, which you really don't need.
We have a call from Honolulu. Sean, you have a question for the mayor.
Hi, this is Sean. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a question. I work in the renewable energy industry, and I repair broken solar equipment. I know there's a lot of solar equipment on Maui, and moving forward, you guys have renewable energy goals, I'm sure. I just wanted to hear a little bit more about how the wind and renewable energy effort is going on your guys' islands and what your energy goals are moving forward to achieve 100% renewable by 2040. Thank you. I'll take my answer offline.
Thank you. Sean, thank you very much. And as you're well aware of, Maui leads the state in renewable energy and the sources of renewable energy at this point. The state's goal is 2045. I would like to see our goal and the goal that I put for my administration is 2030. Now, even if the good Lord bless me with two terms, I won't make 2030. However, I'd like to set the path so that this occurs. You know, more solar farms, more wave energy, or let's look at wave energy. Hydro energy is another area we can look at. There's so many changes, and, you know, again, garbage to energy, I think that's something that has to be in the equation because we have a finite amount of land to hold our refuse, and our landfills are filling up quite quickly. And so we've got to look at making that change and using that, what I call a very substantial amount of product that can be burnt and could be utilized and can be creating energy for us on a consistent basis. But like everything else, I want it done clean, effectively, where the environment is not impacted at all. So there's many technologies out there, and they're constantly evolving. So I'm very confident we are on the right path, and I have our focus in that area. And I believe by 2030, if we're not 100%, we'll be sure closer to that than like with 80, 85% by that point.
Okay, well, this is the conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. We are talking with Maui Mayor Mike Victorino. You can join the discussion by calling 1-877-941-3689. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a short break.
Helping someone is always better than not helping, right?
My mind is going 1,000 miles a minute. Why did I get into this?
What the hell is the matter
with
you?
You are in a foreign country.
You're going to end up in jail.
Just a disaster. An awful thing.
Two stories about how our actions affect those around us, this week on Hidden Brain from NPR.
This evening at 7. Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Chaminade University, dedicated to advancing keiki education, one teacher at a time, with its Master of Arts in Teaching. Learn more at chaminade.edu.
If you're just joining us, our guest today is Maui County Mayor Mike Victorino. He's available to take your calls, and we do have a call coming in from the Big Island. Joseph from Kona, good morning.
Yeah, hello, Mayor. Thanks for taking my call.
Not a problem, Joseph.
The question is, I'm a draftsman in Kona for well over 40 years. This is in regards to the ban on cesspools. In our county currently, we started off with the ban, as everyone did in the state. Currently, right now, we have a waiver from that ban for reasons we don't need to go into. right now. But what I'm seeing is that for every, I know every county has a little autonomy. Our county has a rule. Basically, if you're adding anything bedroom-like to a structure, that's an automatic trigger to convert from cesspool to septic system. That ultimately tallies out to be about an additional $15,000 to $20,000, which usually the folks wanting to add a bedroom for their kids, grandmother, mother-in-law, cannot afford to do. Fortunately, we're under a waiver for a year now, and I'm just wondering what Maui's doing and the triggers for cesspool to septic system convergence. I'll take my response off there. Thank you.
Thank you. And Maui has the same challenges that you have on the Big Island. We have, especially in the upcountry areas and East Maui, they have never been on any what I call treatment system, and so cesspools have always been a big part of it. A lot of that has been dictated as far as EPA, and if you add or you decide to do something on your property, that was an automatic trigger. I think, and I don't recall, and I'm going to say this without no certainty, there was a time frame set by EPA for all of these cesspools to be changed into either septic and or a connectable system, like what we talked about, not only a treatment plant, but also self-treatment facilities. You have that up on the Big Island in Waimea, where a number of them are connected to an area, and then there's a treatment area where these all pumps in, and they clean it out, they pump it out, or they're all connected, and then you go and you pump right down the line. So I know there's a number of options out there, but some of them are very expensive. You recently saw where Mr. Gates had a system where you could, you know, install it right in your house, put that Bill Gates, Microsoft billionaire. They were having a septic tank that would hook up, and doesn't have to be hooked up to a sewer system. It will be self-contained. It'll treat itself, and it's quite a device. And I'm looking at a picture right now.
Kind of compostable.
Where it could be done, you know, right within your home, and you don't have, you know, it just be pumped out every so often. So there's a number of technologies out there that I'm trying to bring forward to make sure that our citizens have choices and they do it in a more effective manner. But there is actual data showing that cesspools and the years of usage is starting to seep into our water, our groundwater. And so it is concerning, and we need to start moving on it. And I think people have and will continue to work together to make sure that happens and it's done in a safe and effective manner.
We had a call from Molokai. Albert was a little shy, but he wanted to get his question in. He asked, is Maui County considering buying Molokai Ranch? Is it feasible?
There's been discussion about that. I think I'd like to make sure that before I say yes or no to anything, I'd like to see all the parameters. There are some foundations that have also expressed interest in that area, and we're turning it into a culturally sensitive and making it into an educational center culturally for culture and for Hawaiian history and things of that nature. So there are a number of things that have been and continue to be discussed with, but I'd like to make sure that the Molokai Ranch, if they're interested in really selling off their assets, that the county and some of us would have at least first divot at getting an opportunity to look at it and taking care of it and preserving it for the future of the people of Molokai.
And that's a big concern, too, because the Molokai Ranch, that was a employment center as well.
Yeah, that is correct. And so when they closed up, many people lost their jobs. So, again, I'd like to get agriculture to, if we can, organic and conventional farming back onto Molokai, because Molokai used to be the breadbasket. Remember, watermelons and other crops used to come out of Molokai, and it was a big part of our economic agricultural system. So I'd like to see a resurgence in that area. And again, if Mahipono and its plan works well on Maui County, who's to say we don't expand one day to Molokai and see what we can do there?
You mentioned watermelon and maybe an ag, and I have to circle back to water because the water rights issue is really a big one there on that island.
Absolutely, and we are working to resolve that, and I'm committed because, again, a big amount of water that we talk about is taking care of the 33,000 people that live in the upcountry area, and as well as all the farming that exists in the upcountry area. Now, you know, Mahipono hasn't come out with their final numbers and what water we are is necessary in central Maui, but we have other sources. We also are looking at now developing modular plans as these new developments occur in central Maui. Modular plants could be the answer because we could build them abutting the actual agricultural areas and at the same time divert from our large plant here in Kahului, which is in a tsunami inundation zone, and we are concerned that if there was a large one, what would the repercussions be at that point in time? We've reinforced it, we've hardened it, we have a lot of protection in place, but if there was a massive tsunami, there's not much, well, it may not take a lot of homes and businesses out in Kahului, especially in the lower plain area. But, you know, again, my whole plan is to kill two birds with one stone. First of all, have it available for development, and secondly, utilizing that water for agriculture, which lessens the dependency, not only on East Maui and Nawaia, but also our groundwater sources.
You know, with a lot of the ag land going fallow, I have to also wonder, too, about the water and the need to have water to fight fires, because I think that was a concern when I was there at the closing down of the sugar mill. There was talk about, you know, if we had a large wildfire, are we going to be able to handle fighting those fires?
Well, as you know, our history has been very kind to us when it came to large fires. I mean, if you look last year, the fire we had in Lahaina and the devastation that could have occurred versus what really did occur. First of all, I got to thank our firefighters, our first responders, police, fire, all of them were out there putting their lives between the fires and homes and our residents and protecting them. So let's give them a lot of credit. Again, I go back to our contractors like Goodfellow and others who every time there's a fire, they're out there with their D9 dozers cutting fire breaks to prevent the fire from spreading. Also, you know, I want to thank Public Works and all of these different agencies that bring tanker trucks and other equipment on scene to help us in these big brush fires. So we're fortunate we've been able to contain that. Water has been one issue, but location is another. Many times where these fires occur, there is no fire hydrants. There is no fire lines running into the area. So we are trucking. We are bringing in through our helicopters and water drops, and just like what you guys have in Nanakuli or you have in Waianae or Maili or other places where there is no ability for fire trucks and fire apparatuses to get in there. You're depending on water drops from helicopters and other facilities, other groups. You're lucky you have the military. Unfortunately, we have no military presence here in Maui County. So I'm thankful for that. And water is part of the issue, and having in these lands back in ag will prevent or will lessen the chance of major brush fires from occurring. However, we'll never be able to eliminate them because there are other areas that are inaccessible, that are going up into the mountains, that are not growing anything, and wild brush just grows there. And when we have all these rains like we've had over the last 3 months, grass grows excessively quick, and then it dries up, and it becomes tinder. So fire breaks is another thing that we've pushed many landowners, and they're now complying to make big fire breaks between fallow land and any residential areas. We're also looking at using R1 water to create green zones where we could run a pipeline above it and for the next 50 feet between the dry brush and actual residential or commercial areas, have them constantly sprinkled or water flowing where there's a green zone where if there is a brush fire, it doesn't go beyond that point. So there's a number of things we're working on right now that to prevent or to help minimize the impact of brush fires, but like everything else, we never know when the big one's going to hit.
That's true. We do have another call from Maui. Hope from Kihei.
Aloha. Mahalo for taking my call. I had two questions. One is a friend of mine was beaten at Camp 3 one night, apparently within an inch of his life. That's what they said at emergency. And the cops and the EMTs and the people at emergency all said this happens every single night down there. There's these guys, and they modify these pipes into weapons. And I'm just wondering, I mean, we have lots of police out stopping speeders, which is great, but I'm just wondering if they could patrol those areas a little more. And then my second question was about the traffic in Kihei. There's all these road closures. And last week, South Kihei Road was closed, and it took an hour to take what is usually a 10-minute trip. And now, starting tomorrow, apparently, they're going to close lanes of Pi'ilani Highway. That's our major highway there. And I just can't imagine what's going to happen here in Kihei. And I'm just wondering why these are being done right in the middle of the day, because I know, like, when they're working on Mokulele Highway, they would do it at night. Those are my questions. Thanks so much. Aloha.
Well, let me start with the issue about the friend and being beat up. And, you know, we do have incidents that occur there. Not every night, I will say that unequivocally. But, you know, I always say be safe, be careful of your surroundings. Police do patrol these areas. They're not just out trying to catch speeders. They're out there protecting lives on our highways as well as our parks and our residential areas. So I would say that I would disagree with that statement that they only pay attention to speeders and not our parks and our other facilities. They do what I call a terrific job, but like anything else, they can't be everywhere at every moment of the day or night, I should say.
Well, now, Mayor, do we need more officers patrolling that area? I don't know.
Well, I mean, officers, we have an acute shortage of officers like almost every police department across the state. And so we try our best to recruit and to obtain what I call quality police officers to protect the well-being of our people, the people of my county. So, but with that being said, yes, at times we don't always have, or there's an emergency here, there's a fire there, there's a accident somewhere else, and, you know, all of a sudden the number of officers are strained, and you have that happening in Oahu just like you have it happen here. So we do, and we're cognizant of that, and we try to make sure we are also putting in park rangers to help be eyes and ears and ambassadors for us in these park areas to see and let us know if there are dangerous situations, dangerous groups hanging out. We can get the police there before something happens, not after. You know, so we are trying our best to accommodate everyone and keep everyone safe.
And as far as the roadways being closed?
Well, the roadways are being closed because a lot of infrastructure improvements, as well as the new Kihei High School, and just the normal resurfacing schedule has brought it to the forefront, and everything is hitting at one time. But you guys have that happening in Oahu. Now, a lot of times we'll be able to close, like, Mokulele, or I should say Veterans Highway, where there is no housing, we can do work at night. But if we're doing it in residential areas, night work is almost impossible because people, God, that's their time to rest. And I mean, a lot of people cannot. I mean, you're going to be making noise with traffic and equipment. So much of the work that is done during the day is in areas where there are residential rentals, or, you know, where people live, I should say. People reside, and not in these areas where, if you're talking highways, where there is no residential, very little residential abutting it, then we like to put night work in play.
And how are you doing on pedestrian safety, Mayor? I know that's a big emphasis in other counties, you know, with the pedestrian deaths so high.
I made that a priority also because our first seven fatalities here have been pedestrians, have been five of the seven. So we are facing the same crucial situation where there's a bad mix of cars, bikes, as well as pedestrian traffic. And, you know, I constantly remind people every week on my radio show to slow it down, to pay attention. But what I'm trying to do is put money into the budget first to protect our schools, to make sure on all the streets that traverse schools that there is flashing lights, that there are raised crosswalks, and that as much as possible, whenever possible, police presence on occasion, just to make sure that those who are foolish and don't want to slow down or are in a hurry to get somewhere, that they're appropriately handled. But again, I can't keep police there every day because there's other areas that call for assistance, as you just heard, as far as our parks are concerned. So it's roaming, it's random, and again, when people don't know, they get caught, it starts to make people think a little. But the real key areas is flashing lights, flashing crosswalks, and raised crosswalks so that our children, our keiki, have a little extra protection. People, you know, if you're 4 feet, 2 inches tall, and then you're raised by 6 or 8 inches, that helps an awful lot for a vehicle coming at you to see you crossing, yeah, along with the flashing lights.
And Mayor, I know the state lawmakers have been talking about the red light cams again. You know, we had that test, the pilot project here mm-hmm. on Oahu. Where do you sit on that?
Well, I would be one of those that would agree with it. I would love to see that come to fruition. I think I have had, I've been in Washington, D.C. driving on their roads, and I've gotten tickets that I didn't know I had exceeded the speed limit.
Uh-oh.
But good lesson right at that point. Whoop, okay. I learned that one real quick. But I think our roadways here, like every place else, are just inundated with traffic, especially after work, after school, before school, and before work. I mean, you know, those are two prime times during the day that we have a lot of traffic. And again, if people would just be a little more patient, not in a hurry to get anywhere, be aware of your surroundings, because our children do not pay attention. Unfortunately, children are children, so we've got to look out for them. Our kupuna needs more time to cross the street, and that's another thing. Our traffic signals, we need to adjust the timing for people to cross the street. You saw, I remember about a month or 2 months ago, a police officer actually parked his vehicle, put his blue light on, and it took 3 light changes for our kupuna to go from one side of Alakea, I think, oh, was it Alakea or Barrett? I forget which street. I can't remember. It's the one where the courthouse just go by, right, where the courthouse is. And that kupuna took 3 times, with the light changed 3 times for him to get across from one side to the other.
Wow.
So, you know, I think we need to look at that. Again, we've got to protect our seniors. You know, kupuna are our valuable resource. And so let's protect them and our keiki and all of us. And then you as a pedestrian also have to learn, when that light, that hand starts flashing, that means you don't enter the crosswalk. You have to wait to the next cycle. And, you know, pedestrians as well as people who operate vehicles all have to be aware of what's going on around them.
Okay. And, Mayor, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about? Any other issue?
Well, I mean, I think we've covered all the major ones in Maui County. Managing our tourism is another area of concern, that our resources, as you heard, you know, not only about construction, but our visitors. And if we don't take care of our resources now, they may not exist, and people may not want to come to Hawaii. You know, a lot of our visitors come because of relationship, because of the people, our people, the way we treat them, the way we welcome them with aloha. But we also have to have nice beaches and trails. And so we've all got to start stepping up to the plate, both the visitor industry, government agencies, and the individual citizenry out there, to work together to improve and enhance and make sure that what's out there will continue to thrive, will continue to be a part of the ambience of what makes Maui County and the state of Hawaii the great place to visit.
Now, I believe tonight DLNR is hosting a meeting about their concerns on the need to manage Molokini Crater with, they were saying, like more than 1,000 snorkelers every day, which is astounding.
Yes, and I have no problem, and whether it's Iao, whether it's Molokini, or whatever, I have no problem in now making or putting in controls, putting in some restrictions, like what you do with Hanama Bay and other. You know, I think the day has come where, you remember, the ancient Hawaiians used to have abilities to shut down areas and move to another area for fishing, for utilization. They protected the resource. They never overused it. When we grew up, we were always told, only take what you can use, nothing more.
Right.
Again,
good lesson.
You know, it's a whole different world we live in. And so, again, maybe we need to go back to those values, which I talk about all the time. Respect of the Aina, respect of our ocean, respecting each other. We can agree to disagree, but let's respect each other's opinion and let's work together, not be adversarial, as you heard on today. Some people come on as being adversarial. I'm not in that position. I'm in a position to work with everyone. So come, let's talk. Let's ho'oponopono. Let's work together. Let's make things pono between all of us. You know, that's me. That's Mike Victorino, mayor, regular guy on the street. I've never changed. You know, like my wife said, I don't think I can ever change you after 43 years. I've given up, so I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, Mayor. Well, we certainly do appreciate you carving time out for us, for all of our listeners statewide. I think it's kind of refreshing for them to hear, you know, what you're dealing with and whether we can learn from how you're finding solutions there. But thanks again.
Well, thank you, Catherine, and God bless you all, and aloha.
All right. And we would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us today on the show. If you want to catch up on our talk story segments with the other county mayors, just visit our website at hawaiipublicradio.org. And hey, reminder, if your call didn't make it on the air or you wanted something else to talk about, contact the Talkback line. Leave your comments. That number, 802-792-8217. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us tomorrow for more of The Conversation.